Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere, visit Hyland.com.
Hey, y'all. This is Randy of the Black Millennial Marriage Podcast, BMM Indie number 80. The best things. I know it's not Wednesday, but y'all about to get this episode. Now, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays if you celebrate. Ours was restful and relaxing. Drew was taken care of, and she enjoyed her first Christmas. She was also very tired. She could not keep her eyes open all day yesterday, but it was good for us just to rest and be together for our first Christmas as parents. And for Drew's first Christmas, out of the womb. So it was great. I also hope that you all had a great holiday or a great break if you don't celebrate, but got the day off. And yeah, so we're going to get into it. Y'all know we post 2 episodes once a week, Sundays and Wednesdays. This is actually going to be your last indie for this year. And I'm excited. So we're just going to get into it.
Yeah. Yeah. In 2010, thought I was doing something. And now I'm rapping with a crew or something. I guess the track don't really stick unless he's gluing something. And I never fit the shoe until I do or something. Yo, bracing myself like teeth, boy, it's the same old route on some new concrete. But homie, these tunes make you get a new ID. I'm trying to do my thing, but the commute ain't cheap. I'm on a 2-day week for all this rap these days. And we can still pitch the track to all the whack DJs. We're singing happy days, wearing tacky J's. And I'm just pumped that I made it out my nappy phase. Let's go.
We can turn the whole world around, I'm in the backseat.
And I'm back. Okay, y'all, so this episode, I am hoping is like on a lighter note than the other ones. I was thinking about what to record for my indie, and I really wanted to just focus on the best things that happened this year, because if y'all are all caught up, y'all know that a lot of our, we reflect a lot, but it's about a lot of like the hard things and, you know, the things that suck and that are painful. And so, and not a lot about the light that we've actually had this year and that I personally had this year when it concerns like how I reflect on the podcast. And so I just wanted to give space for that and honor that. And so, yeah, we're going to get into it. I have 5 things that I would like to recognize as the best things from this year. And my first thing is Drew. Drew was born March 2nd, 2019, after 38 hours of labor. Y'all have heard the labor stories, podcast episodes. If you haven't, go back and listen, because it was a journey. She was born via C-section because I was not progressing. I was going back from like 2 centimeters to 5 centimeters, 8 centimeters, back to 5 centimeters. She had a fever. I had a fever. Her heart rate was really high. It was just not good for either of us. And so they cut her out and she had 3 knots around her cord, a dislocated knee, but she is alive and well. And she is my proof that God exists, not just because she's like this good thing that has happened, but just because of like what else can you do? Like it's science, right? It's science. because God also created science. But like, she's just like a literal manifestation of me and Mikey's feelings for each other, our love for each other, our commitment. She's so smart. And like on those really hard days where she can't tell that things are really bad or that like we're hungry or like, you know, because she's fine. But like when she's just, you know, she's just very present. She's a baby, you know, she's what babies are supposed to be like, not stressed out. And she's just the light. And I'm like, this is God. This is godly, you know. And I'm thankful for her. She has taught me so much with only her little 9 months being here. And her life has really blessed me. It really has. And she recharges me after really stressful days or just long days. And I've been trying to, on my end, do my best to honor like her life and the fact that she chose us and toughed it out throughout the pregnancy and the labor and made it here safely and is staying here to love her well and to be well. And so it's just amazing. I have been finding it amazing how my life has transformed with like her as a motivator and my family as a motivator to just do better and to really recognize things about myself, hold myself accountable, show myself grace, you know, all the things we should do anyway. But she's definitely been a great inspiration and motivation and has just taught me a lot about love. And I'm thankful that me and Mikey manifested this girl. Like, I wrote her name down 2017 December because she was born in 2019, Lord help me, 2017 December, and I got her for March 2019. So Drew is everything. My second best thing this year is my gang. So I actually met these women. I actually haven't met these women in person yet, but that's coming. That is actually my goal next year. One of my goals next year. I know y'all listening. If you didn't know, now y'all know. But I met these women through the podcast, or because of the podcast. Each one of them reached out either via email or social media. I can't even remember how we started talking individually, but then we just never stopped. Like, I was talking to Ebony every day on Instagram, emailing Brittany every day on Instagram, every day with Ashley. And I was home at the time, as y'all remember, because I only just started working in October. So we had a lot of time to talk. Ebony is also a stay-at-home mom, and Ashley's about to become one, and I think Brittany's also about to get a break. Lord, we all switching roles. But they really changed my whole life. And it wasn't until I finished reading Oprah's book, The Path Made Clear. It wasn't until I finished reading that book that I was like, all right, Randy, come on, brave it up, put these three women in a group with you in one text stream, because I really feel like we will all connect because they're so similar and so different. And I had been feeling that way all year, but I was like, no, is that weird? Ain't nobody met each other. Anyway, I finally made the group and I was like, listen, I love you all. I think we all will get along. We are all very similar. We all love our kids and our husbands. Let's talk. And we talk every day. It's a little unhealthy. Because we get deep. We get so deep even when we try to keep it light. And they really, like, it just made me a better woman, a better wife. They helped me show myself grace as a mom, because I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. I'm just, you know, Drew, she's staying alive, and that just means we're doing something right. But, and we all have stair-step kids. So Ebony's kid is 3. Brittany's is 2. Ashley's is 1, about to be 2. And Drew is about to be 1 in March. And so it's just really great. Brittany has literally clothed Drew. She sent so many clothes. And that's what Drew lived in for on up until 9 months, because she's in 18 month clothes now. It's a long baby. But they just all have changed my life. And once I became more flexible with what I thought a mom's group was supposed to look like or a community was supposed to look like, I could really open myself up to having this virtual relationship with these women. And all our husbands know what it is. Like, Mike knows. He always wondering what we talking about, if he can join. Like, no, you can't sit with us. This is not for the daddies or the husbands. But it really has just, it's really made everything just so much easier this year. And because I'm the only one of my friend groups, like the friend groups I keep up with, who had a baby and who was married. And so that can be really lonely, as I'm sure a lot of people know who have kids and who have spouses. And so because my priorities are different, I don't even drink anymore. I really just want to be with Drew. And which is not really healthy. I'm working on that. So I do get out and my mom does keep her, but like I'm just in mama mode. I'm in mama wife mode. And so that can be difficult to explain or to communicate sometimes with some of my friends. And I don't have to explain myself with these women. And I love it. I just love the group, and I'm thankful that we have found community and friendship with each other, because it really has saved my life this year. I've seen the videos of Drew being crazy, you know, that's how Fit found out she had an allergic reaction to penicillin. Like, is this normal? Just, you know, she had the seizure, just letting them know, just really just having a community and having people to talk to, women to talk to, Black women too. So I'm thankful that they are definitely on my list of the best things that have happened this year. The third thing, best thing that has happened this year, was me finding Raising Rebels podcast. Y'all, I love this podcast. I've had some visceral emotional reactions to this podcast. I'm certain very similar to a lot of the things that y'all say about ours, but like I have been like sobbing, holding the steering wheel, driving, listening to this podcast. It is so good. It's a parenting podcast about raising free children while being an oppressed parent, because we are, maybe not in the traditional sense, or like what you think oppression may be, but just like, how do we raise kids who are their own people, who, you know, outside of our projections, outside of how we were raised, how do we raise these kids to like grow up to be good people, to be themselves, to love themselves, especially if they're of color? And I just love it. It's so good. And Mike and I actually met the host of Raising Rebels in a completely different scenario. It was nothing about her podcast. It was nothing. We met her virtually through a conference call. It was like nothing. Like her podcast wasn't on radar because I hadn't heard of it until I met her. And then I met her and I was like, let me try this podcast out, because I've really been trying to find a good parenting one that just aligns with how I want to raise Drew. And that's just, I want her to be so much better than me. I just want her to be, you know, all the things she wants to be for herself, and also brave and kind and bold and strong, you know, and free. And to do that as parents, you know that you have to be these things yourself, or you really should, because ain't nothing worse than being a kid and seeing, you know, hearing parents and adults say one thing and not live up to it, or also not practice it. It's so aggravating and can make you so resentful. And I promised myself I wouldn't be that type of parent if I ever had a child. And so this podcast definitely holds me accountable. She has these sections. So she interviews people each episode and she has them reflect on, she like starts off with a worry, like, how are you feeling? And these are parents who are on this podcast with her, and they give their word, and then she has them reflect on like a childhood memory to honor their current children, and just to really just pay attention to how you were as a kid, because really we're all just kids raising like kids, essentially. And like, and how we raise our kids, a lot of our childhoods impact the way we raise our kids, essentially. And so then the stories are always so moving. And then she has the whole, you know, the main topic. And then in between the podcast episode, she gives her kids space, her own kids space to speak. And you never know what is about to happen. It's not like she announces that it's about to happen. You know, when the music shifts, that something is about to happen, but it's just such a blessing. And her kids are so confident and they trust her. And so they give her like real answer to the question she's asking. And it just makes me think about being a kid myself. And Mike and I actually listened to an episode together, but I'd already heard it, but we couldn't finish it. We still have 22 minutes left of Bills, 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 because we kept pausing it to like talk. And then he was really emotional at the end of it because he was like, am I impressing my daughter? Like, this podcast just makes you think. It just makes you think about my childhood. It makes you think about how things impacted me. It makes you think about how it impacted me now. I could talk about it forever. I highly recommend it if you are a parent or soon to be a parent or think you want to be a parent, because it's just the best. It's one of the best things that has happened to me this year. And I binged the first season, and I am currently only one episode behind of this current season, season two, because I listen very faithfully. And so it's just nice to have a podcast, you know, outside of my own. And I listen to other podcasts, but this one, especially because I'm a new mom, I'm just loving it. It's just perfect for where I am in my life right now and the type of parent I want to be. So I recommend it. Raising Rebels. It's a great podcast. So the fourth thing, my fourth best thing this year has been the podcast, our podcast. Black Millennial Marriage Podcast has been everything. Now, me and Mike have talked about how in a lot of ways doing the podcast, how we were doing it wasn't necessarily healthy. But for this year, this podcast definitely kept us together. It gave us people to talk to when we were really lonely and confused and depressed, because anybody who has family know that family can suck. And while we do have a good family, our family is still family. And so in a lot of ways can still be really toxic and just not helpful. And just not, you know, and everybody's got their own shit. Like, everybody's got their own things. And so a lot of ways the podcast was our only space to be like ourselves, or to like reimagine ourselves well. Because it's really hard to do that sometimes when you're in the thick of it, as y'all know. And so this podcast has been one of my best things, and it kept me busy. And sometimes it's good to be busy, because I can only imagine how life would have been this year if I hadn't had this podcast to do with Mikey, and if I wasn't doing all the editing and stuff when I had to pick up the bulk of the work because he was driving. But like, I don't know. I think it definitely helped with my healing. And it just gave me a routine when I really needed a routine, and I needed something to put my energy towards when I was really down. I didn't want to get out of bed, but I knew we had a episode that was due to go up, you know, like it just gave me a mission, and it gave me something to complete. And it gave me my friends this year, and I will always be thankful for that. And I love y'all. This has been great. And the fifth thing, my fifth best thing this year, has been my job. Now, we could all stand to get paid a little more, but outside of that, this job is really, I'm really amazed. I just love this job, y'all. I do. And I love the people and how hard we work, and that everybody has a purposeful role, like I talked about, I think, in my last indie. And it's really, sometimes it can be triggering for me because I'm constantly comparing it to past jobs that I've had, including and especially the last one I had before this one. And I realized how much I didn't advocate for myself, how much I shrunk myself, how much I disliked myself so much, or like felt like I was undeserving. And so I stayed in situations because that's what you do. And that's just not right. And I know that's easier like said than done, because a lot of people haven't found their professional home or like their place here. And a lot of people have just like, I think that this job is helping me realize that like the things I normalize at work are really toxic and aren't real. Like, you really don't have to put up with half the shit you put up with at work. But that is not what we are taught, especially by our parents, especially by these boomer grandparents. Not knocking them, just saying like, people just work and work and work. And there's a way to work hard and to be responsible and to inspire loyalty and to be just a good worker, just to keep your word and do your job. There's a way to do that without dying, you know, and developing mental illnesses and being in pain. There really is. But the caveat to that is you're going to lose your job. Like, you're going to be without work. You're going to be without work. And a lot of us can't afford to be without work. We damn sure couldn't. And we had a lot of help this year through government, through family, friends, y'all, you know, Patreon. Like, we had a lot of help this year. And so I feel blessed, though I didn't feel blessed at the time, but I feel blessed that I was able to find this place, because I wouldn't have found this place if I was anywhere else. Because I don't really look for jobs while, well, that's not true. I do look for jobs when I am working, but I don't think I would have found this place if I hadn't had the space to be, if I hadn't been as desperate as I was and had to hit the bottom like I did to realize what I wanted, because it's really not worth it. And taking these jobs just to have these jobs have long-term consequences. And it's hard getting, you know, and it takes bravery. Then I realized a lot of people aren't brave. So then I realized I wasn't really brave. I've never really been brave until this year. That's just, I thought I was brave. I thought I was really brave. But bravery is not doing the things that come easily, that come naturally, that you feel confident about. It's doing the really scary shit. And so I realized I wasn't really brave. And so the job is like constantly having me in reflection mode. And then it's also like, after this job, I could never go back. Like, I could never go back to what life was before this type of job, because I know that it is possible to be treated well and to do your work well and to have purposeful work and to be paid, you know, like, it's just, it's definitely, it's changed everything. I don't know what mine, like, what the future will hold, but for right now, this is where I am. And yeah, I just have so many thoughts. I have so many thoughts about work and how people approach jobs, how I've approached jobs. And it's just, it's a setup. It's a setup. It is a setup. But yeah, my job is the fifth best. It's my fifth best thing. So again, my top best thing this year was, or my number one best thing was Drew. Second was Gang Gang. The third was Raising Rebels Podcast. The fourth was our Black Millennial Marriage Podcast. And the fifth was my job. And segment two, Q&A. One of my favorite parts of the podcast. I have three questions and let's get started. So the first question is, what books do you recommend for soon-to-be moms and dads? So I got a lot of baby books when I was pregnant. Both times, I think. I really remember them the second time with Drew, but I don't recommend any of those. The only book I think that you should read is The Conscious Parent. And it was the best book I read while pregnant. I read the, what's that other big brand one? I can't even remember. Y'all probably know, like, what? I can't even remember. It doesn't matter, because these babies are all individual and they do what they want. And I didn't feel like, now that Drew was out, I don't think I've seen anything from those books that actually matter, because it just wasn't helpful. I don't even go back to them, but I do go back to The Conscious Parent. And that is by a therapist. And she's just all about, actually very similar to Raising Rebels. But she's all about recognizing the kid in yourself before you can, you know, as you parent your kid. Because I just think back to all the times we got beat as kids and all the times we got yelled at. And now that I'm a parent, I know that it was those moments happened the most when my parents were tired, when they were down themselves, when they weren't well. And she just, the book really calls for you to be like, to hold yourself accountable, because these kids are not asked to be here. We all, you know, at some point or other, whether on accident or on purpose, one of these kids chose to have them. And so, like, what are you doing? Are you making their lives miserable? Are you making them work for your approval? Are you making them pay for your disapproval? Like, she really is just, and it's such a easy read. Like, it's not like a dense read. There's not all these huge scientific words. It's very human and personable, and she gathered me. And I know I've talked about this book before on this podcast, but I just really wanted to reiterate that it really is a really good book, and I plan to reread it throughout Drew's lifetime and any other kids that may come, because it really is a great reminder to check yourself as a parent before you start cussing your kids out and beating them and doing stupid shit, you know, and reacting like a kid, you know, to your children. Because these kids will try us, as y'all know, and really just holding yourself accountable. So it really just puts a lot of the work on the parents, as it should be, and in my opinion, and just making sure you're not being harmful to your kids. So I really recommend that book. And that's the only book that really I feel like helped me, and that I keep in the back of my mind, even now with Drew being 9 months. And she can't really, you know, she can't talk completely yet, but just how am I treating her? And how am I treating myself? How am I treating my spouse? You know, just please. I really recommend that book, The Conscious Parent. Also, So second question is, name three movies you will never get tired of rewatching. This is so funny. I love this question because while I do read a lot, I actually watch a lot of TV too, or movies. And the two, there are three, but the first two are Batman The Dark Knight. I love that movie. I can rewatch that movie so many times. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. It bothers the hell out of Mikey, because I rewatched that movie over and over and over and over again. I love Anne Hathaway, Christian Bale. I love that movie. I will also rewatch over and over and over again Sherlock Holmes Game of Shadows. Y'all, every time Mikey has on his PlayStation 3, every time we are in a bedroom and he gives me the remote, I literally will scroll down to Sherlock Holmes. He already knows what it is, and it bothers him. He's just like, Randy, I have other movies. And I'm like, I don't care. I love Sherlock Holmes. I love Robert Downey Jr. I love the series on Netflix, or it was really BBC, but I will watch that movie over and over and over again. I never get tired of it. And a third movie that I never get tired of and I can rewatch over and over again is Fried Green Tomatoes. It's a good movie. My grandmother had it on VHS, and we would go over her house. She only had a few movies on VHS. It was Halloween, Fried Green Tomatoes, the two VHS tapes, Titanic, Beloved, and that's it. And so we would watch and rewatch Fried Green Tomatoes over and over and over again. And I love those movies. So it's Batman The Dark Knight, Fried Green Tomatoes, Sherlock Holmes A Game of Shadows. My top three faves. I love them. And final question. Have you read Children of Blood and Bone? I actually own the book, and I got the hard copy because I was so excited when it dropped, and everybody had loved it so much. And y'all, I was pregnant when I read it. I ain't finished it. It is my plan to, because I think the story of the book, how it was created, was so powerful. The author wrote it very quickly, and I felt like she was obviously led by the Holy Spirit. She wrote that whole book in like a month, and I love writers, the process that writers go through, some writers go through, and I felt like she was definitely called to write this book by how quickly she got it out and how quickly she got a deal. And the type of deal she got, which was a really big one, but I could not get through the first few chapters. After I got through the first few chapters, which was a really good story, like I was in the story, but that main character is so fucking frustrating. I don't know how y'all can deal. I'm gonna finish it though. I just can't stand an annoying main character, and I'm just praying for character development. And I was also very pregnant when I got the book. So my attention span / my tolerance was very, very short. And so I have not given up on this book. It is sitting right on my bookshelf. I'm going to read it. I'm just letting you know, I tried when I was pregnant and I could not get over how aggravating the main character was. Like, I understood her anger and her frustration, but she bothered the hell out of me. And then so did the dude, the villain. Well, I don't know if he's still a villain, but in the beginning, he's like the king's son or something. I don't want to give the book away, but he was all angry. I'm like, y'all all can do magic. I was just frustrated. I just want these characters to be better people, but I'm going to read it. If you've read it, please let me know what you thought. And if I can get over this hump of being aggravated with these characters, but I will read the book. Thank you for y'all questions. All right, so the final segment, I'll leave you with this. So I actually didn't do much reading this year, which is a first, which probably explains a lot about how down I was. But one of the best books I did read was The Gift of Imperfections by Brené Brown. And I read it right after I watched Brené Brown's The Call to Courage on Netflix. Both of them moved me, and I know I've brought it up before, but they were also a light this year. And so I'm going to leave you with this quote from the Netflix special. So the quote is, "Sometimes winning is not coming in first. Sometimes winning is doing the really brave thing." And I love that quote. That's a quote she ended off on when she talked about her daughter's swim meet. And it just moved me because this year did not feel like a win at all. But it was the year that we were our bravest as a couple and individually. And, you know, sometimes I'm learning that's all we're going to get some days. Some days it's just going to be about bravery. Like, were you brave? Did you have courage? You know, and I can honestly say that this year I did. And while it was very painful and sucked a lot of the times, a lot of the things we manifested and that I was able to manifest individually was because I was brave. You know, we got Droopy because we were brave enough to try again and to just, you know, even though we knew another miscarriage could happen because that's how miscarriages work. You know, they just happen, sadly. I was brave enough to continue to reach out to the women that are in Gang Gang individually and to grow a relationship with them, even though we haven't met in person, and brave enough to put us all in a group and not have them, like, I don't know, cuss me out or stop talking to me because they all hate each other, because that is completely the opposite of what has happened. Brave enough to listen to Raising Rebels podcast, because it takes some bravery to listen to that, because it has definitely caused me to reflect in, like, other ways about my childhood and about how I treat myself and Drew and Mikey and all that. And, like, you're gonna need some bravery before you listen to that. And brave enough to do the podcast with Mikey, because this year was rough and we risked a lot by putting a lot of ourselves out and a lot of our business out, but it got us a community and got us a home, you know, and just a space where we also feel safe to talk to each other and to express ourselves on and off the mic. And so, and brave enough to apply for a job after being out of a job for 16 months. And, you know, all these acts of bravery does eventually reap some benefits. You know, it seems like it's taking forever and we only have a few more days left of this year and I'm tired, but I am grateful and I'm realizing that, you know, I was brave this year, and that's okay. That's gonna have to be good enough. And finally, closing call to action. Lord. Please submit questions or feedback for the next solo episode. So this is the last episode of this year and of this season. And we'll have more on that with our last full episode. But we're going to be recording way in advance. We're trying to do this so much smarter. And so please send in your questions either through Instagram or wherever y'all are online, Facebook or Twitter, or email us at blackmailmirror@gmail.com. That's blackmilmar @gmail.com. Or leave us a voice message. I don't think we played a voicemail on our indies yet, but our phone number is 770-750-4098. And your question could be featured on a future episode. Also, let me know what you think about this episode. I know some of y'all are probably counting my top things and realizing Mikey is not on there by himself, but I felt like that was a cop out having Mikey on there, especially because our last episode may get really emotional and he's definitely going to get his rightful shout out. So if that is your feedback, think about that before you email me saying I forgot the husband, because I didn't. I'm just trying to be mindful of my emotions. Also, be sure to check out our website, www.blackmillennialmarriage.com. That's supposed to be getting an update soon while we are on break. Keep your fingers crossed. We don't know if these things are going to happen, but it is on the list of plans. And lastly, follow us on social media platforms. On Instagram, Mikey is Mikey_XXI. I am Randy, RandiIIIIEEE on Instagram and Twitter, and our Twitter together is _TheChapmans. All right, y'all. As always, be blessed. Don't settle. Fight clean. Peace. About time that I get back. Yo, I'ma get back. We can hold it down. Oh God, I'ma get back. Yo, I'ma get back. And we can hold it down. Yeah, it's Peter. Fourth year in
the promised land. Watch it, I promise, man.
Acast powers some of the world's best podcasts. Here's a show we recommend.
I'm Meredith Masony.
And I'm Tiffany Jenkins. We're the hosts of Take It or Leave It, a podcast where we discuss all things marriage, motherhood, and everything in between. Join us every week where we sit down and talk about parenting, even though we don't really know what we're talking about. We have guests, we take your calls, and we get weird.
Tiffany and I are just like you. We are two struggling moms who have no idea what we're doing. Join us on Take It or Leave It, an advice-ish podcast for parents.
Acast recommends.